Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. And I'm telling you right now, we have a very interesting one here. I'm absolutely thrilled to be doing this episode. But more on that in a minute. Once again, I'm John Orlando, bringing you the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. And I'm sitting in one of my favorite places. And it's my favorite, beyond a shadow of a doubt, my favorite watering hole, if you will.
Nice.
16-bit bar and arcade. I'm joined by Kyle Hoffmeister.
How's it going?
It's going well, man. Yeah. And that name may ring a bell for some folks, and maybe we'll talk about that later on.
Sure. Right? Yeah, I wear a few different hats, but...
As do we all.
Yeah.
As do we all.
I suppose that's true.
Anyways, this place opened about a year ago.
Yeah.
Bar and Arcade.
Late August 2013.
Yeah, and how's it been received by the city of Columbus?
I mean, we couldn't have asked for a better reception, to be honest. We have all kinds of people in here all the time.
Right.
We're super busy. Super, super busy.
And for those folks that are ignorant about what 16-bit is, it's a classic arcade and bar mixed in one.
Yeah, it's one we have... You know, the business side is the bar. We just serve drinks. You know, just a bunch of bartenders in here slinging beers, making cocktails. And the added bonus there is that we have all these wonderful free classic refurbished arcade games to entertain you while you have your beer. I mean,
yeah.
It's a pretty good combo.
Now, I have to ask, because I've seen this written, I think, in a couple of other publications.
Sure.
Barcade.
Barcade.
Is that appropriate for this, or is this not? Is that like a bad word? Like, is that derogatory?
You can call it barcade all you want,
as long as you come in and spend money.
Yeah, it's not a derogatory word. I could bore you with why we didn't brand it as a barcade. It's some legal stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's a copyrighted word.
Really? I did not know that.
Strangely enough, it is copyrighted by the guys up in the. The Brooklyn Barcade, the one that started up there.
Yeah.
Basically, to avoid any sort of potential legal issue, most other you can use the word. Most other barcades, though, don't go by barcade. Because,
wow. Okay. Yeah. See, there you go.
Yeah.
You're schooling me on some stuff.
Yeah.
I've read that
insider tips
here. Fascinating. Seriously, that's fascinating. Okay, then I got to get the other insider tips
sure.
out of the way. Where do you get the games? Because, I mean, there's got to be a company that refurbishes them. Like, where do you get them at?
Most of them come from different places.
Okay.
So, back when our owner had decided that this is what he was going to do, got the investors involved, got the money to start the business, he started just buying up, games that he liked that were in good condition that he thought would do well in the bar that we were trying mm-hmm. to put together. Slowly what that's turned into is, we bought a ton of games for Columbus, we bought a ton of games for Cleveland. People just know, people who are selling these old games, they just come to Troy now. They're, Troy Allen, he's our owner, they'll just come to him now, because they know there's this one guy over in Columbus that's buying all these games. If you got a game you want to get rid of, he'll buy it up from you. So it started out as, finding them here and there.
Okay.
And now
so,
it's...
So, like an American Pickers, if you will.
Yeah.
Hey, there's this old guy out in... he's got this barn.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's got a Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah. No, it started a little bit like that. And now it's mostly people will be like, I got this game. Here's the condition, and...
Oh,
they'll
cool.
come to us with it usually
that's cool.
now.
Okay,
so.
That's cool. What if the game's a really unique one, but it might need some tweaking, it might need some repairs? Mm-hmm. Do you still go, yeah, we'll take it and we'll see if we can get it
sometimes.
Fixed or whatnot?
It depends on the game, it depends uh-huh. on the condition. We do have a guy in house named Tom. He's awesome. He's been doing arcade repair, arcade game and pinball repair since the industry started, since
okay.
arcades were big back in the day, he's
yeah.
just one of the few guys that stuck with it,
cool.
As they got less popular, he started doing, people have a pinball machine at home, he'd mm-hmm. go over and repair those. Now we have him pretty much working full time. He's running up and down, 71, between
yeah.
Cleveland and here, trying
yeah.
to keep all these old games up and running, which can be quite the task if you consider that some of these things are 40 plus years old.
Yeah, right.
And they with when alcohol is involved, they tend to take a little bit more of a beating than sitting in your basement.
That was another question of mine. Have you ever had to tell a dude or a young lady, "Hey man, easy on the game, easy on the game"?
Almost every week.
Almost every week it happens.
Somebody will get mad at, you know, like at Frogger or at Pac-Man and just bang on the thing. I'm gonna be like, "Nah, these are old, you know, like these are old games. You got to treat them with a little bit more respect." You know, we try and have people keep the drinks off the games, you know, because like. Spilled drinks or water damage in electronics, everybody knows, don't go well together. So that's been an interesting challenge. Having said that, we've had a lot fewer issues with that than I would have assumed initially. Most of the time when somebody spills something, it just falls on the ground and we mop it up. It's not a big deal. Happens a lot here because people's attention are elsewhere, you know. You're playing your game, not necessarily worried about where your beer is. Elbow knocks it over, whatever.
Right.
Generally, I'd say etiquette there is just tell us, you know, if you spill something, don't be embarrassed, just tell us, and we'll get, the sooner we get cleaned up, the better.
So, does Troy have, your owner, Troy Allen, does he have any cool games at his house? Like, he's like, "Hey, I got this game, I have space for it, oh, darn it, I gotta keep it in the garage."
That I don't know. That would be a secret unto himself. I'm sure he would not divulge that information, even if I asked.
Well, you mentioned the Cleveland store. So you guys opened, what, the end of August, correct?
When did we open up there? It was about a month ago, I'd say.
Okay.
About a month ago. It was the same thing up there. People were just waiting to get in.
Did you guys do some marketing research, to figure out, like, Cleveland needs this rather than going somewhere else, like Cincinnati or Dayton or something like that?
That's a big part of... You know, we have plans to expand further. That was a big part of it. You know, we want, you know, part of the reason we did so well in Columbus is because there's nothing else like this in Columbus.
Sure.
We want to make sure that we carry that kind of momentum to each new city, you know, that we'll show up in. I can tell you that Cleveland is doing well and that more cities are on the way.
Okay, good. That's cool. That's really cool. All right, so as I look around here in all the games that are around us,
sure.
What's your favorite game here?
This guy right here is
Marble Madness.
Okay. That was the one I used to have for the original Nintendo. So it's one of the ones from my childhood, and
we got
it in here, and it's got the actual. Instead of using the little Nintendo controller,
you got the trackball.
It adds a whole. It's way harder with the trackball than it was with the other thing.
I've tried my hand at Marble Madness a couple times, and I'm not very good. It's that first board so easy.
Yeah,
like it's like, oh, man.
It gets exponentially more difficult as each level goes on.
Exactly, and it's really a challenge.
Yeah,
mine is right there.
The Dig Dug.
I love Dig Dug, man. That was the game that I loved. On my Atari 2600.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
So, what's some other very popular ones down here that people usually flock to?
I can tell you that as far as the classic games, there's always some... We have a dual Ms. Pac-Man Galaga machine, always occupied. Asteroids always has somebody on it. It's, you know, a lot of those classic ones that you'd think, like Frogger, and we have this Star Wars game that's pretty rare over there. That one,
yeah. I remember as a kid, the arcade in the shopping mall that I used to frequent had one, but it was the same game, but you sat down in it.
Yeah. We, you know, those are even harder to find than the standing ones, and I don't know if we would add room for it, even if we had one of those.
Yeah. But. Well, I also remember, too, that the arcade had a Pac-Man that was a table.
Yeah.
Is there any...
Funny story. We do have a table Pac-Man.
Really?
It does not work.
Oh.
And it sits upstairs in our employee lounge area as an actual table.
Man, I remember that was the coolest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was like, what? It's a table and a video game.
The Pizza Hut by where I grew up had one of those things. Yeah. It was the best.
There is one here.
There's one here. I'm fairly sure it doesn't work, and it's being used as a table only, not as a game.
If you don't mind, what's your least favorite game, if I can put you on the spot?
Yeah, I mean,
for what reason is it your least favorite?
I've got two, and I'll tell you exactly why. Number one least favorite game, this might come as a little bit of a surprise, but once I mention the reason, it'll become a little more clear, is Time Crisis.
Okay.
obviously it's a fun game. It's the biggest one we have in here. It's one of the newer games that we
have. Right, I was going to say, that's a newer one.
And it's one that, you know, people are on constantly, mm-hmm. you know, because it draws the eye, it's big and loud, you get the guns, you know, you do that. I have nothing against the game in general. The game is fun. It's a fun game to play. But since it's such a big console, I've been talking about this too much, but people just put their drinks on it, and the whole thing vibrates, and you stomp on it, and then glass breaks all the time over here.
So it's a pain in the neck from the aspect of the bar staff.
The bartender, Kyle, is not a big fan of that game. Because even though we have a sign on it that literally says, don't put your drinks on the games, please. You know,
people don't pay attention.
Yeah, and then, you know, it just makes a big mess.
So that's game one.
So that's my, like, whiny, like, industry least favorite game. The least favorite game we have on the floor right now, just from a gameplay standpoint, is Ladybug. It's right behind you. It's just like a slow-paced, slightly boring Pac-Man.
I gotcha. I'm going to say, from my many times down here, that one there, Revolution X.
Oh, dude, you don't like Aerosmith games?
Well, it's just, I don't understand it. It's just like, I don't understand how, what does Aerosmith have to do with the game?
Well, you got to do Aerosmith. Like, they get kidnapped and you have to save them.
Do you ever save them? Because I played that thing for like
it's a long,
20 minutes.
It's a long game. And there's a couple levels that are like, you know.
I just keep shooting ninjas and ninjas and ninjas
they
and ninjas.
Just keep coming.
I'm like,
ninjas and
are
aliens.
Are they ever going to stop? What's
It's a long game, and there's some like weird secret levels that you have to like,
See,
like
I'm totally
find
ignorant.
Your way through a maze. Like, the game gets a little redundant, but the fact that Aerosmith is in it and you get to shoot CDs at bad guys, like, that's pretty cool, right? Like, that's, like, lame and cool all in one.
It is. And then I also am not a big fan of track and field because it's remarkably hard.
People get super competitive over track and field. That's one of those ones where I come over, you know, at the end of the night and it is, like, it's, like, been turned to 90 degrees because people are just winding up and hitting that trackball as hard as they can.
But it's hard. I went over there because, as I mentioned several times on this podcast, in reality, I'm a track coach as well as a teacher. So I'm like, I will kick ass on this thing. Wow, I must suck as a coach because I can't do anything on this game. So, you know.
Yeah, I would be surprised if real track and field was too much like the video game over here. You know, I don't.
It's not.
I don't know how much it translates to the real world experience.
Yeah. I was like, man, it hurt my self-esteem. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not playing this game ever again.
There's like, for me, there's just one level on that that I can't figure out and I can't get past it. Yeah. So I know what you mean. It's a difficult game, but it's fun.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I see you guys got a couple pinball machines too in the back.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Are those as popular? Or?
They're just as popular, which is interesting because we do charge for those. We do charge 50 cents a play on the pinball. Uh-huh. That, you know, we've talked about a little bit about game maintenance, and it's basically that. You know, those have a lot more moving parts. They're a lot more expensive to maintain.
Right.
And so if we want to keep them here and working, we just ask for a little help from the people who are actually playing the games there. Pinball is just as popular. We actually have, you know, you can almost tell the people that come in, you're like, this guy's going to play pinball, this guy's going to play, like, arcade games, this guy's going to play pinball. I'm like, you know, we have, like, our group of regulars that almost exclusively play the pinball games.
Okay.
We have a pinball league that comes in here once
really?
A month. Yeah, and they do competitions on these four things.
Because I was going to ask about some of the competitions here that you guys advertise, because you have Mortal Kombat tournaments.
Yeah.
What other one? I'm blanking out now.
Well, every Monday night we do what we call Mortal Monday, which is all of our fighting games, basically.
Okay.
Usually, you know, depending on what kind of crowd shows up, it'll be Mortal Kombat 3 and Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Will be the games that they do the actual tournament on. Sometimes, you know, if there's enough people interested, we'll do a Killer Instinct one as well. That happens every Monday, you know, and we have an awesome group of dudes, regulars, that come in and compete.
What do you get if you win the tournament? Just bragging rights, or...?
Well, it depends. For a while, we were giving away, you know, a free t-shirt to the winner of each bracket, but... As you can imagine, a lot of the people who win are, you know, repeat customers. They come every week. They're real good at it. So sometimes it'll be, you know, like an X amount gift card for coming in next time or whatever. So
do you have other tournaments besides that or other video game competitions?
Not regularly, not like weekly.
Yeah.
we do a lot of private events, and a lot of times people will request, you know, this game, this game, this game. They're going to compete, see who can get the high score among their own crowd. But as far as tournaments that we put on, yes, it's mostly just the Mortal Mondays, and then we host the pinball group every once in a while. So.
Cool. Who comes up with, because you have a very interesting selection of cocktails here.
Yeah.
I think the last time I was here at the very end of August, the Hulk Hogan was,
Hulk
on,
Hogan.
The,
yeah.
was on the menu.
Yeah, which, real American.
Yeah. So who comes up with those?
Well,
because I when I read that, I was like, man, I really want one, but I mean, I don't know, I don't really know if I can handle it and still drive home, to be honest.
Well,
try to be responsible here.
I understand know? That completely.
And I was like,
the Hulk,
man.
The Hulk isn't too bad. It's that was one of our summer poptails, we were calling, because they have popsicles
uh-huh,
in them.
Uh-huh.
We actually still have that one on the menu because it was so popular. Even though we've kind of moved into our fall cocktail offerings. But yeah, so the cocktails are all named after basically 80s pop culture
references.
I'm going
to interrupt, Kyle. Hulkamania is 12 months a year, 24/7, man.
For the real fans, man.
Yeah.
You gotta,
for those posers, they'll do it in the summer. But real fans,
just coming in here, ripping off their shirts, drinking a popsicle drink,
doing the thing in the ear.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I get it, man. I totally get it. So yeah, that one. That one's just blueberry vodka and lemonade with a popsicle in it. Summer drink right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the drinks, you know, the initial lineup. It's all been pretty much a team effort. You know,
yeah.
the bartending side of the management team and the, you know, the more logistical ownership side of the management team. Those guys, you know, Troy and Jared, who's our who's like our creative director. He does all our custom signage and
oh, really?
Yeah, and there's some really cool like those composite pictures in the back.
Yeah, those were he did those too.
Those were all him. He does all our signage, all our menus,
the t-shirt
really,
designs,
t-shirts,
and everything.
He's
the man.
He's
with the plan.
Man. He's the all man.
Right.
So those two, you know, they. You know, came up with the concept because it's their baby. You know, like,
yeah,
it's,
sure.
This is you know something that they've thought about, and their previous business, Troy was still does has a creative marketing firm as well. He scaled that back obviously to do this because this is now his you know main. This
mm-hmm.
is his full time job. You know,
yeah,
this is what he does
sure.
now.
Especially with two locations.
Sure,
you know?
He's a busy guy. So. The creative marketing side really kind of influences a lot of the vibe here. You know, we took a lot of time and effort to do all the custom signage and to do the pictures and to make the menus what they are. So we thought of a bunch of you know great 80s pop culture references that you may or may not recognize, depending on levels of obscurity. You know, we wanted to put some that everybody knew in there, and we wanted to put some gems that, like, oh, if you remember this guy, you know, like... and we kind of mixed those, you know, we try and loosely tie in, you know, like, the Dolph Lundgren. It's Moscow Mule, so Dolph Lundgren was
okay.
the bad guy, the
yeah,
Russian bad guy in Rocky IV.
Yeah, of course.
So that's why the Moscow Mule is called the Dolph Lundgren.
Gotcha.
Burt Reynolds is a classic old-fashioned, manly drink.
Oh, that's right.
It's, just, it's pretty much just bourbon, you know? It's just bourbon with some extras in there. It'll put some hair on your chest, just like Burt Reynolds.
What's the most obscure one? I'm curious now. An obscure reference?
For a cocktail...
I'll see if I can name it. Let's put myself on the spot.
Sure, sure. Tawny Catan comes to mind.
Okay, obviously from WKRP in Cincinnati, and she rolled around on a bunch of car hoods.
That is what she's most famous for, yes. We have people come in and mispronounce that one a lot.
Oh, of course, it's not... come in and go, hey, can I get the White Snake Girl?
Yeah, half the people don't even know what's going on. People will come in. We had a drink going for a while called the Ralph Macchio, and you know, like that it's not an obscure reference,
no.
right? That one's not at all. But people will come in and be like, "Can I have the Ralph Macchio, Mochaccino?" Like, yeah, it was a little. It can be interesting to see the generation gaps. You know,
gotcha.
People born people who are 21 years old right now are born in like 94, 95.
Right, yeah,
like,
exactly.
They don't know about all this 80s
stuff. You know, and this is something that I mentioned off air, and I'll bring it up now. You know, as I've mentioned many times, you know, I'm turning 40 next year. So these video games are like what I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like after N64, I just got lost when it came to video games.
Yeah,
what's your thoughts?
You know, I'm an avid gamer. I still play.
Okay.
I wouldn't consider myself like a hardcore gamer. Like I have one of the most recent generation of home consoles, but we try here to do a lot. It's the retro bar, you know, the retro vibe.
Sure.
So we try
and
do the old games. I think there are plenty of awesome games that are coming out right now. Like, I'm super excited for Super Smash Bros. 4. It's coming out for the Wii U. It's coming out for the 3DS, both of which I have. I've kept up on them, you know, more or less. That's kind of what drew me to want to be here anyway. Like, my free time is spent with beer and video games, you know?
So
if I can get a paycheck
fit
in there, too,
there
like,
you,
you know, sign me up.
All right, well, real quick, let's take a side trip, if you will,
so
to speak. Because many people may know you as a DJ on CD1025.
That is correct. I do that as well.
Okay, so how'd you get started in that?
Because
obviously you went to school for broadcasting. Correct?
I didn't, man.
You didn't?
I didn't. I went to school. I got a bachelor's degree in philosophy with a minor in Russian studies.
Okay.
So I like to joke with my friends that, you know, they all got business degrees and were like, I'm going to have a job straight out of college. And I was like, I'm getting a philosophy degree. I'm going to be standing behind a bar. Now we're all standing behind a bar. And they just thought they were going to have a real feeble job, you know? No, but so when I was in school, I had a little extra free time one semester. And I just, you know, I saw the morning show at CD1025.
Okay.
Needed interns. And I was interested in that. You know, people, if you spend your whole life with people telling you that, like, you know, you've got a voice for radio, eventually you try it out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened. I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Worked over there for 6 months. After 6 months, they were like, you know, I basically just saw my name on the schedule, and I was like, what's this all about? And they're like, oh, yeah, if you want a gig here, it's all yours, you know? And I was like, oh, sweet. So I've just never left.
So you went to college around here then?
I spent most of my college years at OSU.
Okay.
I actually ended up graduating from a small liberal arts college in St. Petersburg, Florida. So that's where my degree is from.
You went to OSU for a while?
Yeah, I grew up just outside of, you know, Pickerington, on a little farm in the suburbs. So, you know, been in Central Ohio my whole life, more or less.
Gotcha. All right. So how is it to work down at CD1025? Or do I even use the term work?
I have to say that the days that it feels like work are very few and far between.
Yeah, excellent. That's what you want to hear.
It's as fun as it sounds like it would be, man. Mm-hmm. That place is a bar with a radio station problem. There's, you know, there's always something on draft.
Gotcha.
Like 20 feet away from the broadcast studio, there's, you know, we work hard and we play hard. Everybody over there will tell you that, you know, company events often turn into just parties and just hanging out with a great group of people. You know, it's some of the best people, you know, definitely in the industry, and some of the best people I know in general are over there. You know,
have you gotten to rub elbows with famous bands that have come through?
And I mean,
what was the coolest, coolest famous person? I use that term loosely.
Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age might be the coolest person that's ever existed. I did an interview with OK Go pretty recently. That was a lot of fun. Those guys, talking to them about their new music video, because of course that's the big thing with OK Go, right?
Yeah,
everybody knows
they
their
go
YouTube
over the
videos.
Top.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun hearing them talk. They're, I feel like they'd be at home in a bar like this. You know, they have a bit of a nerdy vibe when you talk to them one-on-one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're... I think they would appreciate what we're doing over
here. Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, CD125's great, man. You know, Randy, the owner over there, he's just fighting a good fight, man. We're
I know, because another station last week bit the dust and changed formats.
Oh,
I'm like, what is this? I'm going to drive into work one morning. I'm like, What?
Yeah.
What?
They changed, 106.7, they
changed, man. And I was like, what is this?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, you know, they were our direct competition and they couldn't cut it. That's what happens with Clear Channel, you know, there's just no consistency. There's just gonna, whatever they think they can make the most bang on is what they're gonna do.
I know,
and you know, you know, I'm not going to sit here and hate on that. You know, there's somebody's at the top of that chain and wants to make a bunch of money, and that's, you know, what, that's the American dream, right? But
so I've been told. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, right.
But that's what I've been told, Kyle. That,
but yeah, I mean, Randy is just an ornery, honorable businessman with a kind of a doing his own thing streak. He'll never sell that place. That place will be going independent until the day he dies, man. it's great. You know, there's very few things out there like that.
Yeah, correct.
I have nothing but respect for the place that I work, you know. Love all my time there. Spend as much time there as I can.
That's cool. And you're predominantly on weekends?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that predominantly when they have you?
Yeah, I do. My normal DJ shift is Sunday from 2 to 5. I do a lot of production over there, like commercial spots. It's probably my main... you know, most of the hours I spend over there are doing commercials.
Which, I'm pretty sure you did the commercial spot for this place, right?
There's one or two that we've done. Okay. We have Tom doing the concert calendar. We've sponsored the concert calendar at CD1025 for the entire year of 2014.
Okay.
So that's, you know, it's just something that happens every day, like three times a day. Tom will give you the lowdown on what bands are coming to town. And
right,
you know,
yeah.
That's what we tied our name in over there so far.
But okay.
You know, obviously, you know, with me being a little bit of a liaison, you know, and we have a lot of overlap. You know, the people that listen to that station, a lot of...
You know, that was the next thing I was going to ask, because I'm sure there's a lot of... The folks that listen to CD1025 come here, you know, and there's a lot of crossover, if you will.
For sure. Definitely. So it just made sense for us to do advertising there. And since I exist in both of those worlds, you know, I've just been kind of, you know, overseeing that small aspect. But no, it's awesome when worlds collide in such a positive way, you know.
Right.
Like, it's a symbiotic relationship there, you know.
Exactly. Since you are a DJ, you obviously got to be a big fan of music. So who are some of your favorites and why?
Are we talking like 80s tunes like we'd hear in here, or just in general?
In general.
Okay.
You can throw in a bunch of different genres if you like.
Sure. Well, I mean, I mentioned Josh Homme when I was talking about some of the coolest people I met. Queens of the Stone Age are awesome. They're one of my favorite bands. That's just one of those things that's, you know, a lot of alt rock right now is pop music in a lot of ways. You know, it's poppier than it used to be. If you think back to the days of like when grunge was really popular, or back, you know, even when punk rock was what alternative music was.
Sure, exactly.
It sounds a lot different now. And Queens of the Stone Age are just good old fashioned rock and roll. They're just doing it well. Have nothing but good things to say about them. On the other side of that, I do listen to the pop stuff too. You know, like a couple years ago, there's that, or I guess that was just last year. There was that Church's album. That I really enjoyed, and you know, that's pure, you know, electro pop music.
Yeah.
You know? And that's a great album. It stands up. And
they put on a great show. And
absolutely,
I have a lot of respect for them, because when they were here in town, it was raining buckets.
Yeah. And no, I was at that show.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that they just kind of kept the pace going and us out of there, man.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I came prepared with a poncho. But
not
still,
everybody did.
Not everybody did. I had friends who were like, oh, I was like, who's the dork now?
Poncho's for life.
You know, but Church is great band.
Yeah.
They had a great show. Really dug them.
Yeah. And there's a lot of those kind of like younger, kind of more electronic based things going on now. Not necessarily younger, but Future Islands, their latest record is amazing.
The two singles that you guys have played down at the station are really good. They're catchy.
You
can't forget about them.
And they're unique enough that, like, once you hear the song, you remember it, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool about it. That's kind of, I like, and you know, people with deep voices, we got to stick together. That guy's got a real weird deep voice just like me, so kind of like solidarity, you know?
What's some of the 80s tunes you love to hear here?
You love
to hear while you're here. That came out wrong. Here, what?
You know, it's being in here, you know, so, you know, bartending shifts, can be kind of long sometimes. You know, you have a long Saturday night. So it is constantly a challenge to continue to have tunes that are on theme that don't burn you out on it. You know, like, I can tell you a few. Like, if I never hear, what's that, House of Pain song?
Oh, Jump Around?
Jump Around. If I never hear that song again, I'll be happy.
Really?
For some reason, like, the 80s, 90s hip-hop station plays that about every, like, 15 minutes. We use Pandora or Spotify to play music here.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we were doing Pandora alone, you know, that song would play every, like, seemed like every 15 minutes, and I did not want to jump around any longer. I always love hearing, like, The Clash and The Ramones, kind of that general, like, poppy punk music from you know, the 80s. I love hearing the straight-up pop, too, you know. I'll still jam out if Toto comes on with a little Africa. Like,
all right.
You know, the classic 80s pop. You know, you got to get down with it. If you're working here, that's kind of like what people want to hear. You know, they want to be taken back to that moment when they walked into the arcade in the 80s.
Yeah, and they heard Rio by Duran Duran.
I'll listen to Duran Duran all day.
Oh,
like, if that's what we're doing in here, I'll totally get behind that.
Well, I know, too, you guys love to play throwback movies, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Every
up on the big screens there
every
on Wednesday.
Yeah, we do the entire day. We'll pick a movie and we'll just play it so people can come in and enjoy the 80s movies.
But you also threw in some 90s, because I think I was here once with Days of Confused was on, you know?
And yeah, we've done Days of Confused. Yeah, because a lot of these games are from the 90s, too, you know? Although, like, the nostalgia factor, like, with the cocktail menu, and even that's changing a little bit. We change those drinks up every once in a while. We have Steve Urkel on there. That's a 90s figure.
What is the Steve Urkel drink?
It's Oyo honey vanilla bean vodka and root beer. It's super simple, but it's excellent. The guys that we get the root beer from, they just have their own craft root beer. So just
so it's not like the off the shelf root beer stuff.
No, they make this root beer and we mix it with some locally crafted. Those guys at Oyo know what they're doing as far as spirits, especially vodka, go. You know, I'm more of a dark liquor drinker, like the bourbons and whiskeys and scotches. That's where I'm most at home, but. We did a little tour over at Oyo just for fun as a 16-bit, you know, employee, like, fun day. You know, we all went over there and they ran us through what they do, how they do it, and, you know, how to sample a bunch of stuff. I gotta say, I have nothing but respect for what they're doing.
You guys also have craft beers, too.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Right?
All the time, yeah.
What's some of the ones you got on tap right now?
My favorite that we've got going right now is Seventh Son's Fall Seasonal. It's called Skeleton Red. It's a red IPA. Just a super fresh take on an IPA. You know, it's a little bit more malty than a regular IPA, and it's got, you know, a bit more spiciness than the normal kind of flavor set of IPAs. And it's just, you know, it's just a really good beer. Those guys have been doing great. They've, especially in the last year or so, it seems like everything they're pumping out is gold. Seventh Son's another awesome one that we get a lot. Their Humulus Nimbus is a classic. They call it an extra pale ale. It's just a classic, awesome pale ale. They have a very unique characteristic. They got a nice brand. When people see their little tap handle, you know, they're just like, oh, I know that's Seventh Son. I know it's local. Give me that. no matter what they got going there. We also try and keep one non-Columbus, Ohio beer running through the tap. Right now, I think it's Cellar Dweller's Dead Dweller, which is an English-style ale or an ESB. It's just a bitter ale. It's super malty, kind of bitter. But in general, bitter for this type of beer is pretty good. Like,
so for the Cleveland store, do you have different beers that you're trying to funnel because of, you know, Great Lakes is up there.
Sure,
I think that's
sure.
the most famous, you know, micro brew up there.
But Fatheads is up there.
Fatheads as well. Yeah. So do you guys have different beers on tap? I don't know why I stuttered on that, but
first of all, they have like twice as many taps as we do.
Okay.
It's a bigger bar in general.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, a lot of what they have is available just up there. We try and mirror our products as much as we can between the two locations so that, like, you know, we want it to be the same experience. We want people to come into this bar and then go up to that bar and like, oh, it's 16-bit. It's the same thing.
Yeah, you know? Right, yeah.
So we
some consistency, if you will.
We try to keep the consistency between the two locations as much as possible. So we do have a lot of overlap on products. But, you know, they work with their local breweries up there. You know, they have all kinds of extra tap handles to work with. So there are some gems up there that you can find that you probably won't be able to find down here. Yeah. And vice versa, you know, with the local stuff.
Cool. Well, as we're getting up on about like 35 minutes or so, so I'm starting to wind some things down. I know you said you got some stuff to do real quick, but...
All these jobs, man, they're keeping me busy.
No, they're keeping you out of trouble.
They're trying to. We'll see. These two are not the best at keeping you out of trouble, you know? They get just the right amount of trouble.
I gotcha. You guys, speaking of trouble, though, have you never had anybody, you know, get out of line?
Yeah, it's a
here?
Bar, man. Yeah, Every once in a while, you're going to have to throw people out. Like, somebody has one too many drinks, you got to ask them to go. And, you know, we try and be, you know, it's not necessarily like a dive bar. Where
and I'm sure that happens in every bar.
Sure. It's part of the industry.
Yeah, it's part of the biz.
It's just, as I'm sure you've, you know, discovered in your own, you know, experience with drinking, is that some people, you know, one guy can come in here and sit down and have, you know, six glasses of whiskey and tip his hat and leave super polite, and that's that, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody walks in here and has two beers and they're out of their mind, and we're like, you can't drink anymore, you have to go. Like, it's about keeping people safe too, you know.
Yeah,
like, we gotta call cabs and we gotta make sure everybody's getting home safe.
Sure.
It's just kind of alcohol can be in the right hands mildly volatile, you know, depending on what else that person's been doing that day. So of course, you know, at any bar, you're going to have somebody that's just had too many and it's time for them to go.
And I'm sure that, that happens at every single bar, as I said before. It's not indicative of anything here at 16-bit. No. It happens everywhere. Every bar in the city, I'm sure.
It's just a bar thing.
It's just what happens.
It happens a lot worse on game day up on campus. I am absolutely certain. Those guys have their work cut out for them.
They do.
And you generally have a little bit more tame clientele. They're looking to have fun in different ways.
I got you. So, all right, with that being said here, real quickly, with CD1025, going back to that for a minute, are you excited for any upcoming shows? Is there one in particular in the next few months that you're excited for? I didn't get that question out before.
That's perfectly fine. You know, the one that is on my radar most right now is actually, it's a show that we're hosting. It's one we do every fall, every October. It's called the Hauntober Showcase. This year we're doing it at Scully's, and it's local bands. Usually we have a couple slots dedicated to local music that we'll play throughout the day. Another cool thing that we can do because we're an independent.
Sure.
You know, we don't have to play whatever somebody, you know,
says.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
We don't have to, like, crunch the numbers and say that this is the...
You must play Jump Around by House
of
Pain.
No! No, so a bunch of the people that have been occupying that local spot for us, Andy Cook,
like Angela Pearlie and the Howlin' Moons.
Yeah, I don't know if they're playing this year, but local bands that you've heard on the station, they're going to be on. Should be a lot of fun. That's coming up here in October.
That's cool. I will share real quick that my concert that I'm looking forward to is one. It's a throwback.
Okay.
In Cleveland on October 17th at the House of Blues, Better Than Ezra.
Nice!
I love Better Than Ezra, man. Yeah. They never seem to tour north of the Mason-Dixon line. I follow them on Twitter, and it seems like they're always doing shows in that southeastern part of the United States. And I'm like, man, that sucks, because I haven't seen them in forever.
Sure. I mean, I remember when they were coming to Columbus pretty regularly.
Yeah.
You know, back when they had some more, like... You know, radio
hits.
Singles.
Yeah.
It seemed like they came through town a good chunk.
I haven't seen them in a long time. And then finally, they have a new album out, which I've listened to, which is good. And they're coming to Cleveland at the house. So I'm like, I'm on it.
Awesome.
I was like, I got to get tickets.
You know, a lot of those bands that were popular around that time, that kind of in that same genre, have been doing this thing that I'm all about. It's just, you know, like, so a lot of their fans, you know, they're like our age now. They're still my favorite songs by them, or old songs, you know? And they've just been like, we're going to go to, you know, do a tour where we play this whole album front to back.
Yeah,
and you go jam out to it. You know?
Yeah.
Those are always fun for me.
I know. And I'm really excited to see what their playlist is like.
Because sure.
I think, if I remember correctly, it's just them.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we should get a giant
good section
of their
catalog. Better than Ezra.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyways, all right. Well, let's wrap things up here. Where can people get in touch with you in terms of social media or 16-bit?
Sure. I'll just give you the whole rundown.
You got it.
I just use my Facebook page over at CD1025. My name's Kyle Hoffmeister. You can look me up on there. I'm Kyle, at KyleCD1025 on Twitter. I have a blog on CD1025's website, CD1025.com. That should, you know, lead you to most of that stuff. 16-bit has a super active Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram feed. We try and use that as one of the main ways we keep in touch with our guests and, you know, people who are interested in what we're doing here. It's pretty funny. You know, we update it daily usually. So let's see. It's, you know, just search 16-bit bar on Facebook. That should get you found on
and
that.
And the Twitter is at 16-bit bar, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Right. And the Instagram is the same.
It's the same.
Like I said, those are usually pretty funny. We'll do, like, you know, a throwback picture, you know, just some irreverent thing to remind people what we got going on today here at the bar. So
a G.I. Joe display would be sweet.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw
it
out.
Dude, we had G.I. Joes in the
vending
machine.
I know. I was like, oh, awesome. All right, well, the Columbus store, the Columbus 16-bit, excuse me, is at 254 South 4th Street, right?
Yep, right here next to Dirty Frank's.
You got it. And the one in Cleveland, if you happen to be up that way, is 15012 Detroit Avenue in Lakewood, correct?
Yep. Yeah, that's correct. Around the corner from Melt's. The original Melt's was just around the corner from there.
Correct, yep. Correct. All right, so I'm going to start wrapping things up real quick because I end every podcast with what I like to call Orlando's faves.
Okay.
It's not like Oprah's faves.
Okay.
But, well, it is, but it isn't. My stuff's cool and her stuff is lame.
Sure.
But, so I'm going to tell the folks about one particular thing that I think is cool. And it's music related.
All right.
I gotta say that my favorite song right now that I'm hearing is St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Oh, dude.
That song is just amazing. And if you have not heard it, you need to go to YouTube and check it out. And check out the video, too, because I think the video is really, really cool.
Oh, it is.
A touch of retro,
sure.
But it's really cool.
I'm gonna hijack that for just a second and say, if you like those guys, you should check out Nick Tolford and Company. They're a Columbus band that do a lot of the same style, and in my opinion, they're, you know, just as good or better.
Awesome. So. Well, that's my fave, St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Yeah.
Call me
St. Paul.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. Every time that comes on the air, you kind of, it's what you turn it up and you roll down those windows and you just jam it out. You know?
Yeah, because it's so catchy, but it's so good too.
Yeah.
It's so
cool. It's got a little bit of that soul,
and,
you know.
Like, you know, surprisingly, when you see the video, you're like, "Whoa, that guy is
he's belting that out."
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, whoa, because it's not who you think it would be.
Totally,
like,
not.
You know, in the archetype in your head,
sure,
you're like,
yeah.
"Huh." I know who this. Whoa!
Did not expect that.
But hey, Kyle, thank you very much, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate
it. It's been a
pleasure. Again, folks, you get a chance, check out 16-bit. I mean, come on down. It is one of the coolest places ever on the face of this planet. Come on down, have a drink, say hello to Kyle. He's behind the bar, and play some cool games.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun down here.
Definitely
worth the stop.
All right, Kyle, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
And for folks listening, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks. John Orlando, the host of the PVD Cast. I want to take a few moments to tell you about Stitcher Radio. If you don't know, Stitcher Radio is where you can hear the PVD Cast and thousands of other podcasts that are on the network. Stitcher Radio is the greatest app that you could have on your Android or on your iPhone or on your tablet. If you don't have it, go to your app store and download it, or go to Stitcher.com where they'll tell you how to get Stitcher Radio. It is the greatest. It is the best. It's one app. That's all you need, folks. It will let you know when a new episode's up because it continuously updates. So if you want to know when is the next episode of the PVD Cast up, boom, it'll tell you. Trust me, I know. I have friends that have used the app on their particular Android or iPhone, and they love it. They love it. You can get customized recommendations for anything you're interested in, whether it's wrestling, news, entertainment, whatever. Definitely check out Stitcher.com or go to the App Store and pick up Stitcher Radio so you can stay in the know.